Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 to 18.
I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also to this madness and folly. But I learned that of this. Two, it's a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is inspired by your Spirit and true in every respect. Your own message to us. Please, Lord, come to us now by your Spirit and open our minds to understand it. Enable us to believe it. And to change our lives, to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bob Geldof founded Band Aid. He orchestrated Live Aid and was the driving force behind Live 8. He has rallied the forces of rock performers all over the world and inspired millions to raise millions for the starving in Africa. He's met with world leaders and demanded that they change their aid policies. He has travelled in Africa and seen famine firsthand. He's overseen the disbursement of the millions of pounds worth of aid that Band Aid has raised. And yet, his autobiography is not called My Great Achievements. It's called Is That It? And that's the essential message of Ecclesiastes. Life is unsatisfying. As the Rolling Stones famously put it, I can't get no satisfaction. I try. We know that the only way to find satisfaction is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes forms part of the wisdom literature in the Bible. Wisdom literature consists of Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and many of the Psalms. The Hebrew word for wisdom is translated skill for living. The Jews regarded wisdom in very practical terms. So wisdom literature provides guidance for good living. It's centered on God. We could sum it up in the words of Ecclesiastes' conclusion, chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. That's the essence of wisdom literature. Fear God and obey him. As we saw last week, there are different sorts of wisdom literature. Proverbs provides wise sayings and observations designed to develop godly behavior. Ecclesiastes offers a philosophical discussion of the emptiness of life without God. Job grapples with the problems of human suffering. A recurring theme in the Wisdom Psalms is the problem of the prosperity of the wicked. Today, then, we're looking at the emptiness of life without God. And in particular, that study can't bring satisfaction. I attended a school carol service at which the headmaster, unsurprisingly, extolled the virtues of study. And up to a point, he was right. I don't regret any of the studying I've done, but it hasn't solved all my problems. And that's what the teacher here in Ecclesiastes 1 has to say. We're going to deal with this whole section using the heading you see in the NIV. Wisdom is meaningless, as in the wisdom you gain from study. Wisdom is meaningless. The Hebrew word for meaningless or vanity is the word hebel or hevel, which literally means a vapor. Imagine a cold winter's day. You can see your breath in front of your face, then it disappears. That's hevel. This is an extremely important word in Ecclesiastes. For example, in verse 2, and the teacher, the author, is saying to us that when we study, when we accumulate qualifications, that's like a mist or a vapor. It seems substantial, but after a while, the benefit seems to vanish. My parents have got a man in their church who has a first-class degree in philosophy from Cambridge. But he doesn't know how to put his clothes in the washing machine and how to run his home. You can have great qualifications, but no wisdom for life. Verse 12, I, the teacher, was king of Israel in Jerusalem. So the author of the book, who calls himself the teacher, is also a king. This has led many people to the obvious conclusion that this is King Solomon. Solomon famously asked God for wisdom and edited the book of Proverbs. However, it is pointed out that this could be any later king from King David's family. But Matthew Henry and many scholars in history have attributed this book to Solomon. And the teacher says, verse 13, I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. It was a great thing that the teacher applied his mind. That was a great thing. But his... He's falling over. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, sorry. I think I'm all right. Okay. I was thinking, how long can I keep this going? So it was a great thing that the teacher applied his mind. But his conclusion is that God has laid a heavy burden on us. Becca and I studied at Oxford. We saw various students crack up. That was a heavy burden. God has laid a heavy burden on mankind. The reason for this, of course, is the fall. God created a perfect world in which work was a joy. It was a joy for Adam to look after the garden. And then, because Adam and Eve rebelled against God and made themselves king in God's place. God cursed their work. Genesis 3:17-19. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground." And so study the attempt to find wisdom, the world of work, has become a heavy burden. Studying is rightly popular in our society. It's the way to progress in life. Self-help books are very popular. Work is a privilege. It's far better to be stressed in work than stressed out of work, unable to feed your family. But through it all, although there is much that is good, work is a heavy burden. And the best we can achieve is meaningless, hevel, a vapor. Degrees, doctorates will count for nothing on the day of judgment. That's the point that's being made. Verse 14, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." One of our favourite places on the planet is a seaside village called Ogmore-by-Sea. I've always gone there with the children. From when Robbie was younger, we would take a rugby ball to Ogmore, and I would put up a high ball in the air, and Robbie would very often catch it, despite the wind. Apparently, the greatest of all Welsh fullbacks, J.P.R. Williams, had a similar training from his father. His father would take him to Porthcawl, just along the coast from Ogmore, and he would make him catch high balls in the swirling coastal wind. The idea was that if he could catch a ball in that wind, he could catch anything. I have to say, JPR's father's efforts were somewhat more effective than my efforts were with Robbie. Although Robbie is very good under a high ball. You can't chase after the wind. You'll never catch it. You can chase a ball in the wind. A ball has substance. But the wind is like a vapor. If you tried to catch it, it would just disappear through your fingers. And the teacher's conclusion, based on his experience as a king, is that as we all get more and more stressed, studying to get on in life, working hard, we're like JPR on the clifftop, but we haven't even got a ball to chase. We're just chasing the wind. We cannot even understand the purpose of life. Verse 15. "What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted." Here, crooked means inscrutable rather than wicked or corrupt. We cannot straighten out life. We can't get it all clear and straightforward. We can't even make a tally of what is lacking. It said, a problem well stated is a problem half solved. And that is true. If you can identify the issue and the problem, especially if you've got a good team around you, you can begin to move towards an answer. But as a society, we don't solve all the problems. We've been watching Victoria on a Sunday evening. It's obviously about Queen Victoria. And a couple of weeks ago, it was about the potato famine in Ireland, in which 1 million people starved to death and 2 million emigrated. We have made progress. If there was a famine in Ireland today, we'd soon mobilise the machinery of government. But worldwide, we haven't solved the problem of hunger. We haven't solved the problem of poverty. 590,000 people used food banks in 2016-17. What is crooked cannot be straightened out. We make progress, for which we thank God, but we still live in a fallen world. There will come a day, according to Isaiah 40 verse 4, when every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. That's when Jesus returns. Then there will be no more food banks, no more hunger, no more suffering for those who belong to King Jesus. Until that day, what is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. And even if you're a king, you don't have the power to solve the problem. Victoria certainly didn't have the power to solve the potato famine. Robert Peel, the Prime Minister, was sympathetic to the plight of the Irish, but he couldn't unite the Conservative Party behind a repeal of the Corn Laws until it was too late for Ireland. A repeal of the Corn Laws which would have brought down the price of bread. And that sort of issue never goes away. Politics is described as the art of the possible. The teacher, who is a king, says that his book learning and his experience, his increase in worldly wisdom, more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me, I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge, and yet he cannot solve life's problems. He can't sort things out. He can't reverse the effects of the fall. Then, verse 17, I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. William Pitt the Elder said, there is something behind the throne greater than the king himself. We might say, there is something behind Parliament. There is something greater behind the UN. There is something greater behind all of the powerful. The most we can do is our best. We can apply ourselves to study, to gaining wisdom, to understanding the causes of madness. Why do people drive vans across crowded bridges? Why do people open fire in crowded areas? Why do they detonate bombs on trains? We can think these things through. We can make some progress. But we never solve the problem of evil and suffering. We must come to the God who is behind the throne. We must seek his wisdom. Human wisdom is only ever a mixed and partial blessing. Verse 18. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. The 20th century was a century of great knowledge, and yet it saw two world wars, the Holocaust, and the creation of the atomic bomb. In the 21st century, we have Islamic extremism, and the mad dictator of North Korea. So are we wise? Do we consider ourselves learned? Do we consider ourselves experienced? I'm glad if you are. But what Ecclesiastes says to us is, we must also be humble. We will not have the power to solve all of life's problems. And ultimately, we will not be able to solve the problem of our own death, or the death of those near to us. And we will find ourselves calling out to God. And the teacher says to us, call out to God today. Don't leave it until your deathbed. Call out to him while you may. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Even if you are now old, don't persist in folly. Don't think that you can do it on your own. Don't think human wisdom will be enough. It won't. Come to Christ. He is wisdom personified. He is the wonderful counselor. He can give us wisdom, which will take us all the way through life and one day all the way through death into heaven itself. Will you come to him for wisdom? Yes, work hard in school. Work hard in your career. Read books. Talk to wise people. But without Christ, you'll be like the teacher, who is a king, and yet finds life meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Yes, knowing wisdom, but also knowing much sorrow and problems to which he had no answer. In fact, that's the experience of all of us. We live in a fallen world. The best that this world has to offer is, to some extent, hevel. We need Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Come to him, and he will lead us to that place where there is no more hevel, where there is substance, where there is peace and joy. Will you put your trust in him? And if you've experienced something of the substantial life of knowing what it is to live for Christ, if you've known something of his wisdom, of his peace, his joy, then ought not you and I to live for him with all that we are and all that we have? And ought not you and I share him with everyone that we possibly can, for those who are lost in a world which is hevel, insubstantial, fleeting, passing, heading for hell? We have the answer. Aren't we privileged people? Such privileged people to know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of study. Thank you that we can read books, go to university, go to school, go to lectures. Thank you, Lord. And yet, Lord, we recognize that human wisdom is never enough. That the greatest intellects of this world have not prevented great suffering and have even caused it. So save us, Lord, from trusting in human study and cause us to turn to Christ, to trust in him, to make him the great study of our lives, and so to find life's true meaning and purpose. And then, having found that, Lord, please would we not keep it to ourselves. Please would we share it with all that we possibly can. For Jesus' sake, amen.